Have you ever met a girl that you tried to date, but a year to make love, she wanted you to wait? Let
me tell you, this is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Not yet, but we're still in training camp mode. Just about all the guys are going to play. We're going to decide, some will play more than others. But we basically, again, as we said from the word go, we're in a bunch of competitions right now, a bunch of positions. And basically one of the best ways with the three preseason games here is to find out, you know, is to let them play. And we're going to do that. There may be some guys that play a lot more than others. But for the most part, we're going to decide at the end of the week. And, again, depending on how guys are with injuries, whether we put them in and play them or not.
Yeah, he's asked about his rotation. Has he set up a rotation yet? I figure it's going to be – it's all about competition. And how many times have they said the word competition? How many times have they talked about this is just – and, you know, by the way, it's a bunch of the same guys. That's what we're looking at here, a bunch of the same guys that are going to be playing not spectacularly. They don't I don't know. Maybe they've got somebody that's going to fly around and just be superhuman and abnormal to what we've seen so far in their careers. I don't know. Maybe under Lovie Smith, Lovie will be the perfect coach for guys, and they'll put them in a spot where they should have been. And maybe we'll see somebody step up and play all pro caliber. I don't know. I'm not counting on that, really. I'm thinking that there's a lot of guys that are just about the same and not unspectacular. That's what our football team is. Unspectacular.
I've talked a lot about I didn't like the process of how things went down, the hiring of multiple guys who are now power brokers in the organization. But I think this season should be about finding guys who fit whatever system they want to put in and say, okay, this guy fits, this guy fits, this guy. If you can find like five guys who you believe can be part of your team going forward, great.
Yeah.
Because there's not a lot of guys on this roster who will be long-term answers anywhere, whether it be here or someplace else. But if you can find a couple guys that, you know, because of how we do things, fit whatever culture we're trying to build, whatever, and the systems that we have in place offensively and defensively, that's fine. I mean, because we know it's not really going to be about winning games, but can you instill something and find a couple guys to be your, maybe not starters, but maybe that bottom of the roster and say, these guys know how we want to do things, and they can impart that wisdom on the new guys we're going to bring in throughout. Because, like you said, the Christian Kirksey's, the Jordan Jenkins. I mean, Terrence Mitchell has started plenty of games. At least he did last year.
He was not great.
Yeah. I mean, Bradley Roby doesn't feel like he's long for the Texans world, whether it be this year being his final year, or maybe they trade him before the season's over, whatever, for some cornerback-hungry team like the Saints. But just find a couple guys.
It's interesting, too, the way that they've gone about it is becoming the oldest team in the NFL as opposed to going and just finding some young guys that could possibly be around here that'll step up. And, you know, obviously you didn't have draft picks, but, you know, I thought, you know, undrafted free agents would have been a nice way to go. Instead, they went with veterans that were looking for jobs that were middle of the road, phase two kind of guys, as opposed to going to find somebody that, you know, the risk reward on those guys is minimal. The risk reward on an undrafted free agent that could, you know, possibly play and be outplay his standing amongst coaches and scouts would be spectacular if you could find a diamond in the rough. But that's not the way they're going about it. They're going about it with guys who have been around for a while, older, and we hope we throw enough against the wall and maybe something sticks. And then, I don't know, I guess because they signed a bunch of one-year deals, I guess they figure, well, we'll give them big contracts because they're going to be seasoned veterans and they're going to cost more. I guess that would be the case, or they'll just let them go to another team and make money there. I don't know. But you're taking – that's risky business. you know, signing guys to one-year deals because they could play spectacularly and then you lose them.
I mean, Davis Mills aside, as far as their draft class is concerned, I think it's a success if you can find – now, they only had five draft picks, but if three of the five turn out to be guys you want on your roster long-term, whether they be the backup tight end in Brevin Jordan or maybe a special teams linebacker in Garrett Wallow, if you found a way to secure three players who can become – 3 to 4 year guys on your team from where you're drafting.
Well, those three are probably the guys.
Yeah,
Nico
I don't know.
Collins.
Nico Collins, Garrett Wallow, and Brevin Jordan. Yeah. We'll see about Roy Lopez, the final pick of the draft. But you find if those three guys are actually guys who you can say a year from now, okay, maybe they weren't starters, but they played well enough that we see something in them, and you pick off a couple more veterans from your free agent signing, I think that would speak well of Nick Caserio, despite some of the criticisms I've levied against him for the Davis Mills pick. That's what they have to work on the margins. Can you pick up a couple guys and say, in a year where we weren't trying to win, we found a couple of guys who can help us win later?
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. John wants to get in here and talk to Dell. What do you say, John?
Okay. Trey had to go fix a board issue, so maybe I'm going to have to put John on.
Oh, all right, well, Trey's – oh, he had to go fix something on the board. I gotcha. All right, John is joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What do you say, John?
Is this John?
That's me. That's you.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm not John, actually. I'm Sean, but no big deal.
Oh.
There's something that I can't believe never got out on the show. I was watching on Saturday night on in the background. Cal McNair wearing a Texas Longhorns uniform. How has this never been brought up on this show?
Well, he went to Texas.
Yeah, we never heard that. But even more importantly, I got on the Wikipedia page, and I found out that he once starred in the backfield with Craig James. I never heard that story either.
Craig James went to SMU.
In high school he started with Craig
James? In high school?
Yeah, no. On Cal's Wikipedia page, he even goes back to junior high, where he starred with Craig James.
Oh,
I thought that was something that I could bring to the show that was just information that needed to be put out there.
Didn't know that. The two of them starred in the backfield. Cal was a running back?
Yes. Wow. Hey, that's what it that said. It must have been in his younger days.
That doesn't make much sense at all.
But anyway, I just want to say something about Dell. You know, when Dell first came over, you first brought the show over here, I was like, man, this guy's like the grouchiest dude ever. But now I think Dell's probably like the star of the show, man. He really steals the show. I really appreciate all of his insight in football and his banter. And what John said all along is Dell really is one of the good ones.
Did you ever say that, John?
I don't believe I ever said that.
I've never called
Dell good at anything. That is impossible.
Thank you, Sean, for the nice words, but you're misquoting John because I certainly
never
heard that.
Said he was good at anything.
One of the good ones.
One of the good
ones.
One of the more likely things for John to ever say.
we're going to miss you, Dell. We really appreciate you.
I appreciate it, Sean. I'm not dying. I'm dying for this show.
Well,
I've died for your sins,
rest
John.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace.
I died for your sins, John.
That wasn't my sins. It was Lance's sins.
I don't know whose sins it was. But I'll still be around in some way, shape, or form. I'll be in the building when this show is going on. So if John needs me to, you know, be grouchy, I can do that. And also, I mean, it's a different vibe, but on Saturday nights I'll be doing a college football show. I don't know if it'll be simulcast, but at least it'll be on the national side for 92.5. I believe. We'll see. But I'll be doing that too. But those words are nice. I appreciate it. And yes, the initial impression of me may be I'm the grouchiest person alive, but I'm not grouchy. I just have a way of doing things.
No, you're grouchy.
I'm not grouchy.
No, you are pretty much.
I think I'm just. I did.
No. He was right.
I think I'm just pretty clear in what I think and what I believe in.
No,
and some things
Oscar.
I won't move. I'm not going to move for.
You're Oscar the Grouch. There's no question. No question about that. So. He was dead on, except for that.
I'm the
He's
star
one
of the show.
Good ones.
He said star
and
of the show.
Star of the show. That
Thank
was
you.
Dumb. Wait a minute. Now I'm taking it
hey,
back.
How then. Can every...
The whole show, the whole call was...
So stupid. The negative stuff he was right on?
Yes.
The positive stuff?
Dead on.
Okay.
Yeah, dead on. No. John was dead on, except for that whole star. You're the star of the show.
I mean...
And you're one of the good ones.
I always, yeah, you've never said that.
I've never said that. 813 ESPN 97.5. Brandon wants to talk a little college football. We'll do that on the other side. Plus, we got some pro news that we've got. There's some Michael Thomas. We gotta get to this because dude is. I'm telling you, Michael Thomas has some issues. And you Saints fans, you got to be a little bit worried about this. 814 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I got to talk right now about my peeps over in Lafayette. I lived there. One of my early jobs, one of the first jobs that I had in the business, I was in Lafayette. Loved Lafayette. Loved living there. Wanted to stay there. Couldn't because you just can't make enough money in the broadcast industry in Lafayette, Louisiana. You just can't. So moved up to Green Bay, where that was terrible, and wished I hadn't left Lafayette. You can get to Lafayette. You can enjoy all the stuff that I enjoyed while I was there. I had the best time. The people can't be nicer. The food can't be better. The music, the atmosphere, the culture, everything about it. It was just awesome. You got the Atchafalaya Basin right there. You got Avery Island where you got Tabasco. You got so much to do, so much fun. You want to golf, you can do that as well. You want to hear music and you want to eat. That's what you want to do when you get to Lafayette. So if you're looking for that, go to LafayetteTravel.com. They'll show you all the places that have got discounts for you and what restaurants. And you just and where all the music is being played on that, whatever particular night it is, 7 days a week. It's all at LafayetteTravel.com. That's LafayetteTravel.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
We know that. 818 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Brad Kellner going to be joining us. He is going to be one of the hosts of the Wheelhouse, which will start next week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. He's coming to us from Austin.
He's really nice.
He's a nice guy, Trey?
Yeah.
Well, see, and you thought it was going to be awkward that he wouldn't like you right away.
He just said he was going to come on my podcast, and we were going to talk about Lima Swede.
You want to talk about...
Why do you want to talk about Lima Swede?
Because we went to Texas.
That Roy Williams knockoff Lima Swede? Yeah. Why do you want to talk about him?
Well, he went to Texas, and that was the first.
Trey just likes to name people. Like earlier today, what were we talking about, Trey? And you just started naming guys that played for that team, even if it was like 15 years ago.
I don't remember.
So your connection was Brad's from Austin, and you decided to name the most random Texas player you can think of?
Yep.
Okay.
That's what Trey do.
All right.
That's what he does. Why not? He's going to come on your podcast? That's going to be awesome. Yep.
Okay, so
made that up.
He hadn't even asked him, right?
No, but, you know.
He hasn't even asked him about the podcast.
You haven't even asked him yet?
No.
Well, then how did you commit him to that podcast already?
I don't know. Everybody always says yes.
They do? Did I say yes?
Yeah, you did. You came on, remember?
Oh, that's right. I forgot about it. Yeah. That's right. No, it was the
Dell
best.
Hasn't come on.
It was the best podcast ever.
Yeah, you asked me, and then, unfortunately, it was a day where I had to do something. I said, ask me again, and you never did.
Sorry, Dell.
Don't blame. Don't try to make me look bad.
I thought you didn't want to come on.
Don't try to make me look bad, Trey.
Dell was the only one who said no.
I didn't say no. He said yes, and then you asked me a day, and I said I couldn't do it that day. Ask me again, and you never did. That's on you.
If he can't do it, if he's going to be snooty like that, Trey, I'm with you.
Get out
Don't
of
ask
here.
Him again.
He goes, hey, Dell, can you do my podcast? I was like, sure, what day, Trey? He goes, this day. I can't do it that day. Can we do another day? He said, okay, and he never asked me.
Yeah, again. Whatever. You're just being a cool guy, right? Oh, yeah, I'll do it. And then when it comes time to do it, nothing. Just nice job, Dell.
I did, Trey.
I was right about you all these
See,
years.
Lance said no. I didn't say no.
Lance was like, not today. Or tomorrow.
And what did I say?
You said, Yeah, anything for you.
You like that impression?
I didn't say it like that.
Do you like
what
that?
What kind of impression is that, Trey?
That's you.
No, it's not me.
It is.
No, it's not. That's terrible, Trey. All of your impressions of me are terrible,
by the way.
I don't
think so.
Yeah. He's talking about all of us because mine is
all
like,
of you.
Hey, dummy.
Yeah. See?
Hey, he dummy.
Hey, dumbass.
No, see, I've never.
You have called me a dumbass before on the air.
I have.
Raheel did not like it. Yeah. He called both of us a dumbass. Hey, you dumbasses on the air. Raheel was like, what? Yeah. You can't call me that.
No, yes, like I can. That. I did. And I was correct in it, probably. I don't even remember. But I was probably right about that. So I'm not high on. And you know what? Here's the deal. I think Saints fans, you should be pretty happy about it that I'm not high on the Saints because
you're always wrong.
I'm wrong more often than not because I wasn't high on the Packers the first time that they went to the NFC Championship game mm-hmm. 3 years ago, 2 years ago. What's going on 3 years now? They went to the NFC Champ, and I was just like, I can't believe this. Because when I went there for the preseason, where the Texans are back there at the preseason again, but I went there for the preseason, the Texans practiced against them and then played in the next game.
You didn't see it. You couldn't see how this Packer team was going to be any good.
No, I was like, this team sucks. Other than Davante Adams, they had nothing at receiver. Their defense just seemed like there was a lot of white guys on the field. It just seemed that way to me.
Why do you have such an issue with white guys playing any sports?
Well, because
you're gonna hate NASCAR.
Yeah. Yeah. Where's that one guy? Where's
Bubba?
He?
Bubba
yeah,
Wallace.
Where's Bubba?
He's doing pretty good.
I know, right? I'm gonna be rooting for him. No, I just thought this team is just not very good. And they went to the NFC Championship game. So I'm just not predicting. I don't believe in Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill. No, they don't have Michael Thomas. Their defense is pretty good. Has been pretty good. Fly around. They're very athletic. All of that stuff. But Michael Thomas is just a weird dude now. I mean, he is showing a lot of signs of now. We've seen so many diva wide receivers, but we're seeing Michael Thomas he's ghosting the team. He's tweeting out, you know, that he thinks that there's damage between the two sides.
Here's
the
tweet.
He waited as long as he possibly could to get surgery.
Well, there's something to that as well. This is the tweet that's now making a bit of news. They tried to damage your reputation. You saved theirs by not telling your side of the story. He also, as you have to be a social media detective, liked a tweet that suggested that the Saints told him to delay his surgery during the year to help Drew Brees in his final run to a title. He liked a tweet by someone who wrote that. I guess the suggestion is he should have had surgery last year, but because Drew Brees was in his final year, the Saints asked him not to so they could try to go win a Super Bowl. And now, are we guessing that this was payback? Okay, you had me play on this injured. You had me play injured because of Drew. Now I'm going to make you guys wait this time around.
Well, and the Times-Picayune printed this, that Thomas fell out of communication with the Saints. He did not return multiple calls over the next 3 months. Then Saints trainer Bo Lowry, wide receivers coach Curtis Johnson, and head coach Sean Payton all tried to reach Thomas. None of their calls were taken or returned. That might be the damage that he's talking about for his reputation.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's what Michael Thomas is coming back. You saved theirs by not telling your side of the story. What's your side of the story, Michael? You didn't answer your phone when the team's calling.
Yeah, I mean,
or maybe it is, but his like is, I should have gotten this before a long time ago.
And I am a team player, and I could have, you know, I hurt myself and my stats and possibly aggravated something that should have been taken care of because you guys asked me to do something, but you're not going to tell anyone that. You're just gonna make me look bad now.
Right.
If that is true, then there is some understanding why he might not be all that thrilled with what he considers a character assassination if he did everything the team asked him to do this past year.
Yeah. Now, Michael Thomas is going on now. In 2019, he was arguably the best receiver in the game.
Mm-hmm.
149 receptions, 1,725 yards. Last year, not so much. Played in just seven games. Started just five, had 40 catches for 438 yards. Now he's missing time, not going to be there, and it just doesn't seem like, it just seems like he is getting more and more and more of a head case. He has gotten paid, and is this a direct result of the payment, or what did he play? Didn't he get paid after the big year, after 19?
Let me see. I'm trying to figure out when that contract came about.
I thought it was after the year because, and they gave him huge money. Maybe it was the year before where he had 125 catches. If it was the case, and he played under that big deal and had 149 and 1725, then okay. But if this is ever since he got that money.
So this, it was before the 19 season he got his deal.
It was?
Yeah. Now he has restructured it to give the Saints more cap space because, you know, they're cap strapped. So as far as, you know, he gets his money.
He's getting his money.
But the last couple years, like last year, he was only 1 million in base salary, $7 million cap hit, and 1 million again in base salary. And this year, $10 million cap hit. So it certainly starts to change right before 2022, where next season after this one coming up, he's a $15.3 million cap hit. $24.7 million cap hit, base salary $15.3. So the Saints got some issues with the guy who's going to be a big, big money issue on their cap, and he's not thrilled with you, and you're not thrilled with him.
Yeah. No, this is it's a bad situation, especially this early into that deal. And after 1 year of what appeared to be – who knew what was going – I mean, it just seemed like it was a cat-and-mouse thing with him last year, and now it is again this year. So they're in a bad way with this dude. They really are,
and they're in the mode to look for a corner. Apparently, C.J. Henderson, the recent draft pick for the 2020 draft pick for the Jags, is not in the best of ways with the Jags right now. So he may be on the trade block, and the Saints are interested in him because they need a cornerback. So I'm not suggesting a swap between the two because the money just isn't the same. And the Saints probably don't want the cap hit. That would be a trade when you're trading Michael Thomas away. But, I mean, they've got plenty of questions. Starts with the replacement for Drew Brees, and then they got some issues in that secondary. And now your receiver who didn't play great last year is a guy you're not sure wants to play for you, and I'm not sure they want him to play for them.
Mm-hmm. We'll see how it works out. Let's get Brandon in here before we bring Brad Kellner in. What do you say, Brandon?
Guys, how's it going? I'm still trying to get past the random Lima sweep drop that Trey had. I'm wondering if Trey, are you going to bring up Blake Gideon on this thing too?
I mean, yeah, Blake
dropped the game-winning interception.
Yeah, he is tech.
He did do that,
Trey. Well done, sir.
Del, I just wanted congratulations on the new college football show. I'm looking forward to it coming up in a few weeks here.
Appreciate it.
I wanted to know, are we going to be able to get a Saturday night college football season version of Granato as a regular call-in guest on the show?
You mean the drunken version of him on Saturday nights?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I'll call you on the way back from an LSU game.
Uh-huh. If you want, look, I don't know how it's going to work specifically. I'm sure we might have stringers at places if people still do that now. But if you want to be the stringer talking about what's happening at the LSU game, if you want to sing.
Or the U of H game.
Or, yeah, if you're at an LSU game and you want to sing along as they're saying, bleep that Tiger D.
Yeah.
If you want to do that,
yeah.
Sure, you can come on and do that.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
Sure, Craig would enjoy that.
I'm just wanting to hear Granato's opinion of Ed Orgeron after about 10 to 15 Coors Lights. I mean,
I got a special place for Coach. He won a national championship. I had a great time, so I ain't going to bash the coach. Les did too, but it was kind of a national championship.
2007.
And he's so unlovable and so kind of
skeezy, right?
Yeah, I wasn't really a big Les fan. But Coach O, are you kidding me? You gotta love Coach O. He's the best. All right, we gotta break it. Brandon, we appreciate it. Brad Kellner is gonna join us on the other side. He is a new host for one of the hosts on The Wheelhouse, which is our new afternoon show. I want to talk right now about my man, John Clay Wolf, over at GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. Sell him your car. If you're looking for the best way to make money on this deal, and you got to do it, you got to do it in a hurry, because John Clay Wolf says, and John Clay Wolf knows more about the car industry than you do. He really does. And John Clay Wolf has never steered you wrong, actually. John Clay Wolf has been awesome in that he has just always said, I'll give you more for your vehicle. But that's what I'm going to do. It's what I do every single time. And when it just exploded, it was like, holy crap, you can get this much for your car right now? Yep, you sure can. And John Clay Wolf is going to give it to you. He's going to give you more. And he just, listen, like CarMax will tell you, here, I've got this number for you. John Clay Wolf says, well, I'll throw another 500 or 1,000 on that. How's that? I'll give you an extra 1,000, 1,000 more than CarMax will. That's unbelievable. And yet he still does it, gets away with it, and still has a thriving business. He's now one of the biggest car dealers in the country. That's what John Clay Wolf is doing. You know why? Because he gives you more for your car. At GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. About, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago, Brad Kellner joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
How are we doing, guys?
Good. About 4 or 5 years ago, did you come to Houston with George Murphy?
I did.
You did?
It's probably 10 years ago.
Was it 10?
Uh-huh.
Was it that long ago?
It was a long time ago.
And who did you have lunch with?
With you.
That's right.
I can't believe you remember that.
10 years. Is it that long ago now?
It's been that long.
Wow. So, Brad Kellner, how do you know George?
My dad grew up with him.
Oh, okay.
In Galveston. They're good friends to this day.
Yeah, he was a big ball guy.
He was.
Yeah, both guys were big Galveston ball guys.
Absolutely.
So, it's unbelievable. And what advice did I give you? Just don't do it, kid. Is that what I told you?
I think that's exactly what you said. Yeah, do anything else but this.
But this.
You and my dad are the same.
It'll never go anywhere for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and look where you are today.
Look where I am.
An afternoon show here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So tell us about your journey since then. Since I talked to you at that lunch with George Murphy, tell us about your journey to get here.
I was just trying to be like you, John. Every decision
that's not a good way to go about
it. That's a poor way to plan your life.
No, man, I finished up high school after that lunch, graduated, and went to the University of Texas. And growing up, I always wanted to do sports radio. So the first thing I did when I got to the UT campus in Austin was go to the student-run station and try to get involved there. Interned at 4 stations in college, 2 in Austin, 2 in Dallas, and got a job going into my senior year of high school as a morning show producer in Austin, and got hired at The Horn, where I was for the last 5 years, and kind of worked my way up. Started as a producer, got a midday show there, and I've been doing afternoon drive for a little more than a year now. So spent all of my professional career in Austin, but extremely, extremely excited to be down here.
Yeah. So you've been following our teams here. That's going to be awfully important.
Yes, yeah. I have. Yeah. Mom's from Houston. Dad's from Galveston. They're fans of the Houston teams. I grew up, despite living in Dallas. Now, I'm not going to lie to the people. I root for the Dallas teams. But I also supported the Houston teams. I don't have the animosity, the Dallas-Houston animosity that both sides usually have. But, I've been following the teams, been covering the teams in Austin, obviously, for years.
What a combination to root for the Cowboys and the Mavericks and then still have to, and I'm not talking about, the combination, that's a good thing. I'm just saying, Cowboys, Texans, a combination of mid to losing teams throughout your youth. Mm.
Yes.
It's rough.
Well, he did have Dirk.
And he has the Astros, kind of.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right. Rangers. Well, he had the Rangers
for what,
11
couple,
and 12?
A couple years?
But you were like 4 years old then, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
That's about right.
Yeah, when Nelson Cruz is dropping baseballs. Yeah.
Good times. I was actually at that game.
You were?
In St. Louis, yeah. Spent all of my high school money, summer job money, driving up to St. Louis with a couple of buddies.
Oh, that's awesome.
Not good times.
It's look, if you save your money and it winds up in a World Series appearance, I mean, that's a good way to spend it.
No, it's a great way.
It didn't end well.
Yeah. No. When I was a kid, I went to Baltimore for ALCS.
I feel like you earned your money with ill-gotten gains. I think it's ill-gotten gains how you earned your money.
Yeah.
I mean, Brad actually had a legitimate job. What did you do? Weren't you?
I was mowing lawns then.
You sure you weren't duping old ladies with construction stuff?
It was. It was Odd Jobs Incorporated.
Yeah. What fell off a truck did you sell to get to make your trip to Baltimore happen?
Might have been, I don't know. It might have been cartel money. I don't know.
You don't remember.
I don't remember at the time. But I do know that I did that same thing. Went to ALCS and didn't work out. Didn't work out, just like yours didn't, because of Lance Berkman in large part. So you had to be happy for Lance, though, I would imagine, right?
Yeah.
So do you know the guys that you're going to be working with?
I've known Jake for a while, known him for a couple of years. Before yesterday, I had never met Cody in person. We talked on the phone a few times. We had a couple of Zoom calls just to get to know each other. I knew about his work. I'd listened to him before in the past down here. But not really a personal relationship with him, so we hung out a lot yesterday. We'll be spending a lot of time together this week, and we'll be good to go next Monday.
Yeah, starting on Monday, so Mom and Dad have to be awfully happy.
They're excited.
Yeah.
They're very excited.
In Houston. Mm-hmm. You ended up in Houston. That's great. That is great. Are you you got to be a Longhorn fan, right?
Big Longhorn fan.
You know we're the Aggie Station, right?
I know we're the Aggie Station. Yes, that will take some getting used to, but we're all SEC now, right? That's how it works in that conference.
I don't get it.
Yeah,
okay,
I don't get
it. So you've been up there. What's the response up there about the moving to the SEC?
Surprisingly positive. Honestly, I mean, Texas fans over the last decade, since A&M made the move to the SEC, heck, even before A&M made the move to the SEC, Texas fans have been very critical of that conference and have bashed it at every opportunity. But Texas fans are excited. They're optimistic. Look, the SEC has been the premier conference in college sports for more than a decade now, not just football, but really in all sports. And Texas fans are excited about the opportunity. Now, football's got to get better. We know that. But every other sport feels like it's in a good spot for the Longhorns to compete in what has been the best conference.
The important thing is, will you adopt the creed and the mantra? Will you chant SEC when you beat some random team in a bowl game who doesn't belong in your conference?
No chance.
All right. That's what they're saying
now.
I know.
I will never root for Alabama in a national championship game either.
But they're one of you.
I know. I can't do it. Now, I will, Dell, I will do this. Whenever Texas loses a game, I will say, we didn't want to be there. That's what the SEC teams generally do, especially a bowl game
upset,
that's not in the playoff. Like, if they lose, we didn't care. We don't want to be there.
You beat Georgia.
Georgia beats Baylor the next year, and all of a sudden they wanted to be there.
Yeah.
They didn't want to be there against Texas. So.
They didn't want to be in the Sugar Bowl. Who wants to go to the Sugar Bowl out of the SEC?
Yeah. It's traditionally been the bowl game SEC champions go to, but we don't want to be there.
We don't want to be there. Yeah. We didn't want to be there that year. No, that's for sure. Well, you know what, though? It's not much. You guys aren't in a much different place than the Aggies were when they went in there. You know, it was funny. They were middle of the pack, Big 12 team, and then they go.
New coach.
A new coach, and all of a sudden they get good. Now, I don't know that Sark is the answer, and maybe it's going to be that next coach.
Do you have a Manziel on your roster?
No. Okay. Well, they've got a Bijan on their roster.
True.
Bijan Robinson's a stud. He's got the best Heisman odds for any non-quarterback in the country this year. So it's not just Texas fans kind of drinking the Kool-Aid for Bijan Robinson. The national pundits think he's going to be really
good. What is the explanation up there of the lack of player development? Because it's all of the great recruits you get, and yet the lack of draft picks, it's amazing.
If I knew the answer to that, John, I wouldn't be here. I'd be coaching at UT making millions of dollars. We've been all trying to figure that out over the years. Some people think it's Austin. You know, there's just so much to do in the city of Austin, right? You think about Tuscaloosa, Alabama, college town. You go there to play football. Think about Clemson, college town. You go there to play football. Austin is a booming city with the university, so maybe there's some distraction there. And I think, you know, even to this day, even though Texas has been as bad as it's been for the last decade, still, if you get an offer to play at the University of Texas, that's like a goal for so many people. And I think for a lot of student-athletes, it's been, well, I'm here. I'm good. Like, this was my dream. This is what I wanted to do. Now I can kind of take my foot off the gas a little bit. Most importantly, it comes down to coaching. They just haven't had the right coach since Mack Brown. But That might be a combination of those.
Well, and even then, even at the end with Mac, it started to tail off because it's in large part the assistant coaches who are getting you ready, who are developing you, and I just feel like they have had a lack of that. I don't know. Do you guys, are they excited about Sark?
They are excited about Sark. And you talk about the assistant coaches. Texas gave Steve Sarkisian an open checkbook to hire any assistant coach that he wanted to. You might say, doesn't that always happen at Texas? No, Charlie Strong got the short end of the stick. I mean, he got screwed financially. He was kind of up against it from that perspective. Tom Herman, he got his way, but he just kind of hired everybody from Houston, right? I mean, all of his buddies, he just brought them along. Steve Sarkisian went and poached, you know, half of Alabama's offensive staff, which was responsible for the most efficient offense in college football history last year. And he got Pete Kwiatkowski, the defensive coordinator from Washington, who's been, I mean, if anyone's kept up with college football and Washington football, they've been great defensively over the years. They've sent a ton of guys into the NFL, and that was a really, really big get. I think a lot of people were surprised that Sark was able to poach PK from Washington. So the assistant staff on paper, time will obviously tell if this works, but on paper, it feels like Sark's got a better staff than any staff Tom Herman or Charlie Strong had.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't say that anymore. You know, he just brought guys from Houston, that Tom Herman.
It's insulting now. You're in the wrong place.
And I know. You used to be able to say that and everyone's you like, down on University of Houston.
It was more of a, he brought buddies. He just brought his friends.
Well, but they were pretty successful
at
Houston.
They were incredibly successful here.
But that's a different athlete now.
Yeah, but in a lower conference, Don. In a lesser conference, yeah.
Yeah, are they still Division I at University of Houston?
I don't know. Where they play, actually.
They could be in the same conference as all of Texas's opponents in the not-too-distant future.
We'll see.
I think Texas fans and Houston fans have a similar feeling towards Tom Herman these days, though. That's one thing that we can probably agree on.
Yeah, they do agree
on. The one thing they've come together on.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. What do you think of the new, how to put this, what do you think of the new end zone at the University of Texas?
The big fallopian tubes?
What looks like a uterus.
Yeah, the uterus.
It looks like the big uterus thing they got going on there.
It's awesome, man.
It is.
Yeah, I'm all about reproduction.
I'm not sure that's what you wanted. That's what you were looking for when you're, hey, look at us.
Yeah, it is an interesting thing to spend all that money and then have to fight off the claims that you build a reproductive system in your end zone.
Yeah. A female reproductive
of all things.
Yeah, they got catfished pretty good.
Whatever floats your boat.
Yeah, that's right, Trey. You're right, Trey. And maybe, I don't know, maybe it's going to get everybody excited about Texas football.
Do they?
Because it looks like it's exciting.
Is that the end zone where they run off the field into?
Yep.
Oh.
It's a rebirth.
Going to run right
Texas,
into it.
A rebirth of Texas football.
Right
there you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then out of it.
Well, then in and out.
Into and out. Yep.
It's an unfortunate thing,
Multiple times again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, welcome to the station, man.
Thanks, guys.
We appreciate you being here this morning and looking forward to the show. You guys, Jake is a great guy, and Cody, too. We've known Cody for years. He interned here first. And so it's going to be nice, and it's going to be fun. I know you guys are going to have a good time, and it'll be interesting to hear the new show. It's going to be a lot different than it was before. Not as nearly as much talk about stuff.
Stuff
that Fred and AJ talked about.
Yeah, I mean, less
reproductive organs.
Yeah, I think they would have had a field day with what's going on in that end zone, honestly.
Yes.
Might have driven a whole show, honestly.
Yes, if you want to know the truth, that might have happened. But you guys are going to do great. We appreciate you being here, Brad, and best of luck.
Well, thrilled to be here, and thank y'all for having me on.
Brad, do you know the actor by the name of Justin Kirk?
Do I know the actor by the name of Justin
like
Kirk?
Like this man.
I do not.
Do you think you look like a young Justin Kirk?
I do not. Do you think what I look like a young Justin Kirk?
I feel like there's a little bit going on here. Look at him, John.
Yeah. I see it.
What's he in? Who is
he? He was in Weeds. He's pretty much a that guy. Like, you would see him but not know his
name.
He's that guy.
That's you, Brad. You're that guy.
I'll take that.
Did you like that?
It's the nicest
show,
thing
Weeds?
You guys have ever said to me.
Yeah, it was fine.
I didn't like it.
You didn't like Weeds?
It was stupid at the end.
It did get dumb at the end. He's right about that.
It got dumb at the end.
Yeah, it lasted for what, 7-8 years? At some point, it'll get dumb.
Yeah.
But
they always just showed pictures of her. The cover, the trying to get you to watch. She was in a bathing suit.
Yeah,
or something
there
else,
are multiple but, ways to try to get people interested.
Yeah.
And he played either her stepbrother or her
brother-in-law.
Threw
me into the first episode, then I quit.
You are a very simple man.
Well,
when it comes to that stuff,
it's got to pull me in. Right,
I understand.
Away. It's got to pull me in like that end zone. right away. Right?
Hold on.
We got a break. 847 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I got to talk about my peeps over at HRNP. Love those guys. I love Mike Colley. He is awesome. Mike Colley, I've known him for a long time. He actually went to the University of Houston, and he blocked for Andre Ware, helped him win a Heisman. And now Mike Colley is helping you and your business get through these difficult times. There's still so much going on with COVID. There's still so much going on with the Affordable Care Act. There's still so much going on with unemployment and claims and everything else that's going on. And you need a payroll company that is going to get the job done for you. And that's our company. So if you're not completely satisfied with your payroll company, if they weren't attentive during with getting your small business loan or your PPP or getting your Affordable Care Act stuff, right? If they're not answering every question during tax time, if they're not taking care of all of your taxes, well, then guess what? You need to go with ours because ours is awesome. HRP.net, 281-880-6525. Customized plan for you, no matter how big your business is. We've got to start at least 15 people, but no matter how big it is, they can take care of your business for you. HRP.net, 281-880-6525.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Jackie. Jackie the Aggie. There's just too much to do in Austin to get better at football. Yeah, that's right, Jackie. That's why the Aggies are so good at football.
Have you not been to Franklin's Barbecue?
Yeah. Have you not been there, Jackie?
Yeah, Jackie.
Yeah, Jackie.
You unfollowed me on Twitter, by the way, Jackie.
Jackie did?
Yeah.
No way. How did you know?
I saw it.
It pops up and tells you that?
It said not following back.
Why?
Yeah, why'd you do that, Jackie?
Jackie, why are you insulting Trey?
That hurts. Oh,
Jackie probably kicks homeless people as he walks by them.
I thought that was what, what's his name? Terrence Jones did.
Yeah.
Did he really? Oh, I remember
Terrence
that.
Terrence Jones, Jackie.
Same guy. Always said that.
It's weird. I've actually had this conversation before about Terrence Jones.
Kicking a homeless guy.
Yeah, it comes up randomly sometimes.
Yeah, when an NBA player does that, it's going to be something people remember.
Yeah.
And brought up.
That's probably, you know, when it's reported nationally.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you're, that's his.
Accused of stomping.
That's his Najee Davenport moment.
At least Najee did that in the privacy of someone's home. I don't think it was his home, but at least it.
Which is worse, kicking a homeless person or dumping in a hamper?
God, they're both up there.
In the closet.
But I'd say kicking a homeless person.
I do think being accused of stomping on a homeless person is worse.
Speaking of which, did you guys see the Omar Vizquel story?
Yes.
I mean, Omar Vizquel wrote a book, right, in which he blamed. Who did he blame the Cleveland's reliever for losing the World Series?
Jose Mesa?
Yeah, he blamed Jose Mesa. And now he's got a sexual assault charge against him.
Or was it harassment?
Or sexual assault. Sexual harassment lawsuit against him by an autistic bat boy.
Whew.
Listen, there's so many layers to this story. He was a double A manager in the White Sox organization, the Birmingham Barons. And apparently they had this autistic bat boy who had been with the team for a while. And he's 25 years old now. And apparently Omar Vizquel, he's accused of showing this guy on at least five occasions, deliberately exposing his manhood, which was standing at attention.
Okay.
To the guy. Okay. I've been in a lot of locker rooms, a lot of locker rooms, played, covered teams. I never saw one standing at attention.
I mean, some of us have had the Bernard Pollard experience.
Yes.
And even Bernard never was like, hey, look at
so
this.
So you don't know, Bernard used to go to the shower, get naked and say, okay, ready for my press conference. And everybody would have to gather around him while he was naked. And it was just like, Bernard, put some clothes on.
Please.
Please, dude.
Do us a favor.
Didn't he do the dancing?
Yeah, and he danced. Yes, he was a dancer. He also took out Tom Brady's knee.
He's a big NASCAR fan.
He is. He's a NASCAR fan.
Is that how you relate to all the people you know?
Well, no.
Whether they like NASCAR or not?
We're all going to have drinks, me, him, and Josh Ennis, when I go to Nashville.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, that's what he said on Twitter.
Oh, sweet, Trey. Well, he's going to love your NASCAR knowledge. You're the encyclopedia.
That's what they tell me.
So I've been in I'm telling you, I can't tell you how many locker rooms I've been in, and I've never seen a guy standing at attention, ever. And there's at least five occasions when Omar Vizquel, for some reason, is standing at attention and he is exposing and trying to embarrass this autistic kid with that. I don't know. And then he made the kid wash his back. The man, humiliated, intimidated, and frightened of what would happen if he disobeyed, complied with Vizquel's demand, according to the complaint. And then apparently... all kinds of coaches and other staff saw him do all this to this kid, and they told him to just keep your mouth shut. I hope this kid wins the $1 million. I do. What an a-hole move!
He deserves more than $1 million.
Yeah, I mean this guy. The kid has obviously has issues. He's autistic, working at 20 whatever years old in the clubhouse. Just trying to, you know, just trying to work, just trying to be part of the team, just trying to, and Omar Vizquel is embarrassing him and making him out to be some, I don't know. It's just, I hope Omar, where is Omar Vizquel now?
Is he on a team? Is he coaching somewhere?
He was fired last week as the manager of the Tijuana Bulls after 2 seasons. I don't know if, did it have anything to do with this?
I don't know the timing of that.
Yeah. But maybe because this story, I don't know, maybe it came out that it was going to happen or maybe it was behind him being fired by the Tijuana Bulls. But I'll tell you this, I don't know anybody that could hire Omar Vizquel now.
No, particularly if there's some actual substance behind the allegations.
Yeah.
Why would you want a person like that around?
No, this is just... Quite frankly, and now, I will tell you this. In 1970, 75, you probably get away with this. In 2021, people are so much more, which is a great thing, that people are so more cognizant and so much more attentive to people with disabilities. It's a huge positive moving forward in our society, and for Omar Vizquel to be an a-hole like this, I mean he's got multiple issues. His wife has also says that he had multiple instances of physical abuse with her. He was arrested once but not charged. Omar Vizquel is a card-carrying a-hole. So, and Jose Mesa wanted to kill him.
Yeah, I was reading up on that story because you alluded to that 97 World Series, and Omar Vizquel in his book afterwards said there was nothing in Jose Mesa's eyes. It was vacant. He looked through him, and he said you could look at him, look right through him, and this was moments before he went on to blow the save or blow the game, I guess, against the Marlins. And Mesa, while he was with the Phillies after, goes, I want to kill him. And Vizquel was like, the translation's off. He wouldn't. Sometimes in Spanish we say we want to kill someone. It doesn't really mean nothing. No. And Mesa goes, No. I want to kill you. Even Jose Jr. says, get him. He said, even my son wants me to kill you.
And listen, I don't know that that's an idle threat. So no. When you, listen, stuff. I don't know that that would be an idle threat. And Omar Vizquel might have been better off if he had killed him. It's 8:59, and I know that kid in that clubhouse would be. 8:59, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Doc Linville is what I'm talking about. Now, Doc Linville is a great plastic surgeon here. Doc Linville has a beautiful office right there on Fannin that is just spectacular. Doc Linville can take care of all of your ladies, your needs, whatever it is that you want to get done. Doc Linville is awesome. I think that's the majority of his business, but he's also, well, last time I saw him, he said, I think we're the second largest hair replacement company in the city of Houston. And it's in large part because of all of you, because y'all have responded. And I got to tell you, I can't be happier with that. Thank you, all of you that have responded and gone to 975hair.com. If you haven't yet, this is not a decision to just go, oh, let me run to 975hair.com. Maybe you go there, maybe you look and you say, oh, I don't know. Maybe it takes a little while, but you know what? Work it up. Work up the courage. Go to 975hair.com and just get a consultation with the doc. And he'll tell you what he can do. I'm going to tell you the process is wonderful. It's easy. It's simple. You will love the whole thing. And what's more, you will love most of all, you will love that you have hair. And it is spectacular. There's a lot of people out there, bald people, we were just talking about Jackie, that wish that they had the kind of hair that I have. You can get that. You can get it. Maybe Jackie can't, but people with, bald spots or whatever, you can get that. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.